Another game we call Not My Job, in which we invite very accomplished people on to answer questions about things we presume they know nothing about. Now, there seems to be a glut of celebrity chefs these days. None of them seem to be enjoying themselves as much as our guest today. He just opened his 8th restaurant. He's starred on 4 TV cooking shows, published 6 cookbooks, won numerous awards. He's got a line of cookware. We assume his next thing is he's going to invent an entire new animal to eat. And it will be delicious. Mario Batali, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. Now, I have to say, when I was writing that up, I had to sit down and count on your resume. Did I get all the numbers right?
Your numbers are exactly right.
You just opened a new restaurant in Los Angeles. That makes 8?
Yes.
Wow. Is it? I mean, you have practically an empire. You started out, what? I guess you opened your first restaurant about a decade ago, a little bit more.
Yeah, I started my first restaurant in 1993, and now, 14 years later, I have 8 of them and a couple more on the board.
Wow. One of the things that probably has something to do with your appeal, your vast appeal to diners and people who buy food products and cookbooks, is unlike a lot of celebrity chefs who are just wee little things, you look like a man who enjoys life.
To its maximum, my friends.
Yes. Are you fighting a trend? Because in much the same way that fashion designers, often when they appear, they're dressed in just, shapeless T-shirts. It does seem like chefs, I'm thinking of Rick Bayless and Charlie Trotter here in Chicago, Grant Achatz, they're all little wisps of a thing. They don't seem to eat much.
They are sexy to a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Vegetarians, I imagine.
I know. But that's not your style.
No, I like all of life, and I represent a lot of life, and I have a good time with it. And most importantly, I really love what I do, and I get to do it on a regular basis, which is fun.
Sure. Now, one of the things that you do is you're a regular on the Iron Chef.
Yes, I am.
Iron Chef America. And we have some Iron Chef fans here, I think. Yes. And you are, if we understood the statistics correctly, the winningest chef, Iron Chef, on Iron Chef America.
Well, it would be bragging if I said it, but thank you for saying it.
It's true. Now, Iron Chef, for those who haven't seen it, this is the competitive show. 2 chefs, one of the Iron Chefs, such as yourself, plus a competing chef, come in, and you're each at the last minute given an ingredient that you have to center a meal around.
Right. Now, we have to make 5 different courses.
How much advance notice do you get on what that ingredient is going to be?
When they raise the thing and you see it, I see it.
Really?
Yep.
Have you ever stood there and looked at that, whatever the heck it was, and said, they have got to be kidding?
There's 2 times when that actually happened. One was a tank of trout with a net sitting next to it.
Oh, Lord.
No, it wasn't trout. It was catfish.
Okay.
And the other one was a 140-pound tuna. Whole.
Wow. And what did the tuna think of this?
I didn't really give him much chance to
talk. I understand.
I took him to the filet level very quickly.
Yeah, you actually have to make dessert with these things too, right?
Well, you don't really have to. If it's something that lends itself to dessert, it's
like
a good
tuna
thing. If it was a fruit, for example.
Yeah.
But the general joke between Alton Brown and Kevin Braho, the 2 guys that kind of run the commentary, once the gelato or ice cream machine comes on during a savory battle,
yeah,
it's a guaranteed loser.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
nobody wants to eat tuna.
Well,
gelato.
I've had trout ice cream once.
Ooh.
And I had it as good as it sounds.
Uh-huh. And yeah. I had a delicious catfish brulee just the other night, which was really wonderful.
So, you know what? I had some spaghetti and just like red meat sauce at Lupa one time that was just divine. And it seems to me that people get too fancy with pasta. What's wrong with just spaghetti? Why every time I go to an Italian restaurant, there's some new kind of pasta. Pasta shaped like Republicans or something.
Well, that would be a very slippery pasta itself.
Yeah. Of course, if you cook it too long and it becomes mushy and shapeless, they turn into Democrats.
Exactly. It changes its mind.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people overwork a lot of their renditions of Italian food. I think Italian food, what people love about it when they go to Italy and sometimes forget when they come back to the States, is how truly simple it is. When it's the season of peas or it's the season of strawberries, when they present it, it's just that and maybe one other little thing. And their confidence is that they have strawberries during strawberry season. and they don't try to make them in December, you know. And they understand that, and Americans become so excited about putting their little imprimatur on a plate that they put too much stuff in it, and that's generally where it goes wrong.
Right. I got to ask, because I'm a guy, and basically I'm married now, but during my life, the times when I really got interested in cooking was when I needed to impress a girl. So, if
amazing how similar we are.
Isn't that funny? I still occasionally want to put on a good show for my wife. So if you are a guy with not a lot of particular talents in the kitchen, what is like something that you can do that'll be easy but like incredibly impressive?
Wash dishes.
Yeah.
Clean up and shut up. No, the easiest thing to do really, really well in the middle of the summer is go to the green market, buy whatever vegetable it is. If it was a tomato, it's fine, but it could be just a zucchini. Throw it in the pan with a little bit of garlic and really nice olive oil. Cook your spaghetti 1 minute less than the package instructions say to. Drain it. Throw it in that pan. Chop in some herbs and throw a little bit of Parmigiano Reggiano over that. Properly cooked spaghetti is absolutely one of the most sexy things ever made.
Really? Wow.
And the part of, and the part about the dishes, really.
Yeah, right. The dishes is key.
Mario Batali, we are delighted to have you with us today. Now, we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
I recommend the burnished chartreuse with mauve overtones.
Now, you have some products out there in the marketplace. You've designed restaurants, so maybe you've heard of the Color Marketing Group, or CMA. This is a group of color consultants, and they are pretty much responsible for how the entire world looks. They get together every year, and they predict what colors will be the most popular in design, cars, consumer goods, almost anything in the coming season. Now, we're going to ask you three questions about the colorful business of color taken from an article in the recent New Yorker. If you get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. So, Carl, who is Chef Mario Batali playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Mary Ryan of Wellesley, Massachusetts.
All right, Mary.
All right, you ready? Now, the first question is, the consultants have done a lot of study of color, scientific examination, and how color affects perception. The series of colors blue, green, yellow, orange, and red has a particular meaning for them. What? A, it's the great historical cycle of color preferences. We're in an orange cycle now. B, it is the favorite colors in order of rhesus monkeys. Or C, according to intense market research, those are the five words that should not be used in the names of paint colors.
Wow. Three excellent options. I go with C.
You're going to go with C, that if you have like a blue color, you don't say blue. You say turquoise. You say
right. Whatever.
No, it was B. Those are the favorite colors of rhesus monkeys.
Somehow I'd hoped it wouldn't go back to the monkeys.
It did go back. Pretty much on our show, a good rule is it always eventually comes back to the monkeys.
Okay.
If you're ever designing a restaurant for rhesus monkeys, go with the blue. It's their favorite color. This study, which, by the way, shows that color preference, you see, is innate. It's a biological function. There you are. Right,
wow.
Now you have two more chances, so you can get this right.
Okay.
Turns out they can use words like green and blue and color names, but they still like to make those names a little more evocative. Which of these is a real color that the CMA says will be very in 2008? Is it A, light, sweet, crude, B, 70s refrigerator green, or C, broke back bronze?
I will go with A.
You're going to go with A, light, sweet, crude. No, it was broke back bronze. We're going to be, in addition to broke back bronze, we're going to be enjoying forbidden plum and also adobada. I don't know what adobada, it's a kind of brown, we think.
Yeah, it's related to a food color.
It is, I think. Yeah. All right, now this is your last question. Get this right, you'll still...
Can I double down?
You can't, you can get some bragging rights, maybe.
Okay.
Now, one of these colors is expected to make a big splash in 2008. It's mineral springs, and they're very evocative in their descriptions of colors. So which of these is the real CMA description of the color mineral springs? Is it A, quote, a good blue gone bad? A slate-infused gray with watery undercurrents, this color is influenced by nature and tech. Or is it B, quote, a purple that wants to be the new black, with bloodshot highlights then spritzed in a river of green? Or C, quote, dark, violent, a whirlpool of conflicting emotions with crimsons and lavenders fighting bitterly, then not speaking to each other?
You'll laugh, you'll cry, the feel-good color of the winter.
Exactly.
I'm going to say the last two sounded tumultuous. I'm going to go with A.
You're going with A. A good blue gone bad?
Yes.
You're right. That's what Mineral Springs is. It's a good blue gone bad, a slate-infused gray with watery undercurrents. Very good. That's what it is. I don't know what it looks like other than what I just told you. So, Carl, how did Mario Batali do in our quiz?
He needed two correct answers to win for Mary Ryan, but Mario had just one correct answer.
Oh. I'm sorry, Mary. I'm really bad.
Yeah. Well, you've been doing so well lately. Maybe this will just help you regain your perspective.
Help me see a little bit of the reality.
Yeah, I know.
With watery undercurrents.
Exactly.
A good chef gone bad.
Mario. I already said that.
Yeah. Mario Batali is an award-winning chef. His latest book is Molto Italiano, 327 Simple Italian Recipes to Cook at Home. His newest restaurant is Pizzeria Mozza in Los Angeles. Mario Batali, what a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
It was great to have you.
When the stars make you drool, just like a pasta fazzola at some more. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.